Glenn Blake, the most interesting skier in the world. Well, if you didn't know it, you heard it here first. Glenn Blake is the most interesting skier in the world, and we are going to take you through a bunch of Glenn Blake stories, starting with an Elan podcast where we talk about his sponsorship with Elan. I'm your host, Mike Powell, and I am going to talk to Glenn Blake, and we are going to discuss Blakeisms, Elan skis. We'll talk about when the ski season really should start, according to Glenn. And of course, we're going to go through a lot of Glenn's unique and interesting stories. So sit back and get ready for some more Glenn Blake. I am sitting here with Glenn Blake, the most interesting skier in the world, and we're going to talk about what Glenn skis on and the choices he's made in his career. Glenn's been on Elan for the past decade, and before Elan, he was on a different brand, and he was with them for the early part of his career. And Glenn made a choice to move to a manufacturer that was an independent brand that really spoke to the people and were able to build one-off products if Glenn wanted them. I'm putting words in his mouth that I could delete at any time. Glenn moved to someone that supported the small guy, that supported the skier. And Glenn, I just want to hear your thoughts on where your career started and where it is now and the decisions you've made and how you feel about them.
Yeah, I mean, being with Elan, it's definitely my MO, so to speak. I've always had the pleasure of swinging the skis over my shoulder. That made me a little different. I had great pride in swinging skis that not everybody else had. Skis that you had to physically make a choice to have and or go out of your way to find. That doesn't mean they were eclectic, weird, little, super expensive, can't have this type skis. They just were a different choice. And one thing that is very important to me when I choose any of my products, but especially skis, is where are they made?
Yeah.
Who makes them? Who decides who makes them? And with Elan, that doesn't get any stronger. It started in 1945 when they were building skis for the partisan fighters so they could get around in the wintertime. There's a couple of great photos in the factory where they were having a company ski jumping contest. And there's the workers of Elan, you know, probably on their lunch break or something at the ski jump. And during wartime, all of them are jumping with sidearms on their belts. It's pretty funny. Like, is that a pistol on? Yeah, I always jump with my pistol. The man that first made skis there was one of the early ski jumpers. I can't remember how far Rudy jumped, but he jumped pretty far for the time. And then the factory is in its original location ever since. They're in Bogunja, Slovenia. And Slovenia, contrary to the way it sounds, is not Dracula's castle. Slovenia is a beautiful country that shares a very, very small part of their coast on the Adriatic. They're smashed between Italy, Austria, and Croatia. And it's just a wonderful country that loves skiing, has a great heritage in skiing, and has been the home for Elan skis since its beginning. I used to go to the ISPO show, or I still go to the ISPO show, which is the big international trade show, and there would be a demo day afterwards, and I'd always end up at the Elan booth skiing with these guys, and I used to ski with them, and the one guy was from, we used to go ski at this place, Fellhorn. We were in Fellhorn, which is in southern Germany, not necessarily known for its skiing, but it's a great place to go skiing. And we'd always hang out because one of the guys is from there and we'd go ski together and it was super fun. And I always looked forward to skiing with the Elan guys every year. It was like, man, as soon as this trade show's over, I can't wait to go ski with those guys. And they always used to make a joke, hey, when are you going to ski on Elans? When are you going to ski on Elans? And I was like, yeah, right. Funny joke, you guys, but probably not going to happen. And out of nowhere, I get a phone call one day that said, hey, you know, we're always joking around, you know, asking you if you want to ski on Elan. And I said, yeah, that's that. Yeah. Why? He goes, well, we're actually asking you now. Well, the funny thing is these guys are in their mid 20s and in their mid 30s. And I'm like, yeah, that's really cute, you guys. And I really love skiing with you. And that's really fun. But thank you for the offer. But before I could even entertain this, I probably should meet like your boss or whoever the heck's in charge. I mean, this isn't send me a few skis. I'm sorry. I make a living endorsing products. And, you know, it's a little more complicated to just send me some skis. And they're like, well, we're here making the offer. You know, we're making the invitation. It wasn't an offer at that point. And I said, well, again, I need to speak to somebody in charge. It was great because Martin goes, so what do you think I do at Elan? And I'm like, oh, you're a tech rapper. I don't know. You're a sales manager for Germany or Austria or something. I don't know. And he goes, I'm VP right now, actually. And I go, well, what about Luca and Leon? What about those guys? I mean, what are those guys, like tech reps or something? And they're like, no, he's product manager and Leon is marketing manager. Really? So I've been skiing with these guys for a couple of years in a non-working setting without knowing the positions that they held within the organization. And that really spoke to me. I knew these guys from a skiing setting, not from a work setting. It wasn't because I had a resume or they chased me down or something. I knew them only because we'd ridden chairlifts together and we'd made a bunch of turns together. And one thing led to another. And the reality was their invitation was sincere. They were, in fact, the guys that were going to make the call. I couldn't believe their ages at the time. And after a lot of long fought nights, I made the decision. It was wonderful to walk into that ski company. And the first thing I said was, I want to go to the factory and I want to go to the factory right now. And we walked right into the factory and I said, I want to go to the wood room right now. I want to see the cores being made right now. Walk through the factory. It was great to get back into a situation where people are making skis right then and there. Watching people come to work, you know, be ski manufacturers. What a strange occupation, actually. Yeah, I'm proud with Elon. You know, we stand alone. We do, in fact, build boats. Which somebody would be like, well, don't they build boats and stuff?
What kind of boats?
High-performance cruisers.
Okay.
And if you really want to go to a website and trip out on some unbelievably beautiful boats, you will go to the Elon website and click on the Nautic division, and you'll be unbelievably impressed. This is not something that we got into. Slovenia coming from the former Yugoslavia, coming from the former Soviet nations. If you were a laminate company, which Elon was, what else can you make? One of the things that they could make was boats, and they've been making boats since the early 60s, if not a little sooner, actually.
Wow, I had no idea, and I've been in the industry for a long time.
They start at 21, but the bulk of the business is 30, 40, and 50 footers, high-performance sailing boats.
So when you go on a trip to the factory, do you also get a nice cruise in as well?
I have, yes. We've had some great sailing experiences at some of our sales meetings that are based down there in Portoroz or Piran, which is the two Adriatic cities in Slovenia. And usually we'll have a couple of boats at the marina there and give everybody an opportunity. I keep threatening to hook up with the Nautic division because sometimes they got to deliver some boats, like somebody from Turkey or somebody from Greece, or somebody will buy a boat and they'll have to ferry it down. And I keep asking to get on one of those ferry trips because it'd be awesome. The boats are amazing. Another thing that they built for a while, they sold it off now, but they in fact built gliders also. Right in front of the Elon factory is a beautiful little airport known predominantly for sailplanes. And there again, they made composite sailplanes in the 70s and 80s. That division was sold off at some point, but the boat division is still alive and well, and it's beautiful. The boat factory is actually on the same property as the ski factory, and in the springtime when they're rolling out the new boats, it's always pretty cool to be around the factory to see the new boats coming out of the factory. They're beautiful, amazing things. But the ski side of things, I just love it, being that they come from that kind of background, that engineering, make anything they can. The technical aspects of working with Elon is really interesting for me. Every time I go to the factory, the engineers have something else they want to discuss. And at the same time, I can come up with some half-cocked idea and they'll listen to me and either say, well, we'll look into it, or they'll roll their eyes.
When you're asking for a 218 straight ski about 65 millimeters underfoot, is that when they roll their eyes?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Well, Glenn, I think there is room for that. I've always thought that you could put out a pro model, one that people just put on their walls, you know, just to say that they have it signed by Glenn Plake.
Yeah.
That is that 218, 65 millimeter underfoot with a little tagline from Plake.
Longboards. We were talking on one of our other shows about technique. And yeah, there's definitely some technique involved when you're bringing the big long skis out.
Yeah. I mean, the skis that are made now, and I will say Elon started it with the SCX and the first true parabolic ski, mm-hmm. and that was probably in 96. What that did pre-96, you really had to drive your knee into the ski to get the ski to turn. You were really putting a lot of torque into the boot.
Oh, yeah.
And then Elon brought to the table a way of skiing that made it easier for the masses and really helped change skiing into something that was easy to do. Snowboarding was taking over until that shaped ski phenomenon took over.
I used to just glue my feet together and wiggle a lot. That's how I got the big skis to move. It worked. They're constantly technologically driven, sometimes too much. I'm constantly telling them, like, hey, guys, you know, let's geek out a little less. Right. But it is through their geeking that stuff takes place. I mean, whether it was the carving skis on a few years back, we introduced skis with dual profiles. So while everybody was making Rockard skis, we decided to make the Amphibio skis. Yeah, Rockard did do something great, but it also gave up something great, and that's called camber. Skis have been made with camber for a really long time, and I wasn't about ready to throw it away. There's certain things that I like about camber. Yes, there was certain things about Rockard that I liked, but not at the 100% sacrifice of camber. So we started making skis that had a cambered edge on the inside and a Rockard edge on the outside. So basically dual profile skis. Yes, there's a right. Yes, there's a left. The side cuts are identical, but the profiles are different. And that we introduced on our Peace skis, and that really was fantastic with the Amphibio. We've moved it into our powder skis also because I like a cambered edge, but at the same time, I love the release factor of a Rockard edge. The new skis that we're making right now, the Rip Stick, is something I'm incredibly proud of. And that uses an ultralight wood. And it's kind of funny because coming from Elan, being so traditionally rooted in the best manufacturing, the best material, the best process, we had to back up a little bit and go, well, if we get rid of certain things that we call the best and replace it with another material, is it still going to be the best? And I'm really proud to say that it is. So instead of stacking metal laminates on a ski to take care of all the absorption qualities that a titanium or an aluminum or whatever you decide to put in there for absorption, it's great. It makes the ski nice and calm and stable, but at the same time, it eats up all the energy. Laminate skis are not necessarily known for their liveliness, like a torsion box ski or a pure fiberglass ski. Yep. But then again, they're known for bouncing all over the place because they don't have any metal in them. And with this new ski, we're taking an ultralight core, we're routering out channels in the core, and we're putting in carbon fiber rods. And those carbon fiber rods in a 3D form in all directions now have absorption qualities. You used to put carbon in a ski, it was typically a flat carbon.
Yep.
So much like some of the carbon fiber fishing poles or bicycle frames, you know, carbon fiber bicycle frames, yes, they're stiff, of course they are. But at the same time, there's some absorption qualities that are taking place that was kind of a byproduct of the original design. And with the carbon fiber rods, we're having all the absorption take place just like the metal does, except the ski has all the livelihood of an old torsion box ski, and it weighs nothing. I mean, the skis are really, really light. The Rip Stick is something I'm really, really proud of. I'm really happy about the Rip Sticks.
So it sounds like from the 30,000 foot view that when you go into Elan, the first surprising thing is it's such a young company. And to me, I think of Elan from the outside. I didn't realize it was executives in their 30s. And can you feel that when you're in the factory?
Slovenia in general is a young country. Not physically everybody's young, but it is in fact a young country. It's a vibrant country. It has opportunity. And yes, our employees, our division heads, our company heads are in fact young people taking advantage of opportunities at this point of their life. And the company itself is not that young. You know, people, oh, Elan, it's pretty traditional brand, isn't it? And you're like, yeah, but what's that got to do with anything? Just because it's traditional doesn't mean it's not. We're not walking around worried about our golf game. We're thinking about skiing, you know.
And so how many people are involved in the company? When you go there and you see the factory, is it hundreds of people at Elan, or is it just a small, tight group? How does that work?
I think at some points there's a little more than 300 full-time employees, and I think it can swell up to about 400.
Okay, and that's building skis and boats. So, I mean, pretty intensive stuff.
Depending on different build times and situations.
What's the coolest build that you've been a part of at Elan from start to finish in terms of product?
I think the Amphibio project was really neat because it was part of my idea to have skis. I thought we could make skis with different flexes. I was hoping for some skis that had different flexes on the outside edges. Can you imagine going to a skiing engineer that's been building race skis his life, you know, pride, and you got some guy with blue hair telling him, I really want to make skis that are torsionally unstable. You're like, what?
Yeah.
But it was those types of conversations where I wanted the skis to have some, I thought, I was like, could we have some twisting take place? You know, like as I exit the turn, would it be okay to say that the tail of the ski twisted or rolled out of the edge? And the only reason I got this talking about it is because back when we were skiing big, long, straight skis all the time, it was that pair that had like 250 days bent to heck, clapped all out. And that was your favorite pair of skis. And I was like, I wonder if we could design a ski that way that had 150 days on it the day it came out of the wrapper. And they listened, and we did some things, and we changed the flex patterns on the outside. But it wasn't until one of the engineers said, wait a minute, let's just, and they never told us, this was just discovered during a test, where they actually started twisting the skis. That was a cool thing to be a part of, to actually watch those skis be developed. Ultimately, they ended up being race carving skis, you know, piece skis, which was not something that I was totally into at the time or wanted to make, certainly from a commercial standpoint, but it was a very important sector of the sport. And yeah, that Amphibio project was cool. Moving forward now, the Ripstick project is something that's finally really hit me in the heart. You know, I loved ripping around on my Amphibios, and it's super fun on hard pack and doing ski school stuff, but we were lacking big time in the big ski department. We just had some different things going on. We had some skiers that wanted one thing and some people that wanted another thing, and it wasn't until the Ripstick project kind of came to light that we really started concentrating on building. A wide body ski was truly unique and was an Elan ski. I mean, we could have gone out and popped some molds off some other stuff, and that would have been fine, but it would have never had its own identity, and the Ripstick has its own identity. It's got proprietary technology, and it's an Elan ski that I'm incredibly proud of and really happy to build. It's a really fun ski. You know how some skis want to like come up all the time and other skis just want to go down all the time?
Yep.
When you're skiing, like some are like, wow, these things are just like, this is cool. I'm like, that's the way the Ripsticks are. To me, they don't feel like they're hanging from my feet. They feel like they're trying to get up underneath my feet.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I love them. They're wonderful skis.
So it seems like it's been an amazing move for you. And with Elan.
10 years, by the way. 10 years. That's pretty trippy. I mean, in fact, anything for 10 years is a trip. But to be with them, I'm really proud of that, actually.
10 years is a long time, and I think we're going to see more of Glenn Plake, especially in the States, where you've been on the brand for 10 years. They came out hot and heavy the first year,
yeah,
letting everybody know that Glenn Plake was on the program. After that, we'd see you at the trade show, but there can never be enough Glenn Plake, I think, in the ski world. And when Elan picked you up, they didn't realize that it's not just a flash in the pan. With the podcast you and I have done, people are asking for them weekly. They want to hear from you because you don't filter anything that you say, and you speak from the heart, and people have loved you for 25 years, and they continue to love you.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world, no doubt about it. The French, there's a bizarre, it's kind of like it's raining cats and dogs, but mon coup bordé de nuit is a French expression. I said it after I survived the Manaslu accident because I really had no other way to explain it. And when the French television put the microphone in front of my face, my only answer was mon coup bordé de nuit. And literally that means my butt is full of noodles.
Okay.
But what it really means is I am very lucky. That's the truth, man. I'm very lucky, and now I'm getting all teary. But I'm glad that everybody's enjoying our yawns here that we're doing, and it's nice to know that people want to listen to whatever it is that we're saying. I hope we're saying mainly positive and making people think and enjoy their day a little better, going away with a smile. Richard Petty told me that that's the easiest thing to do in the world, man, is make a smile. So
when you say Richard Petty told you, like in person?
Yeah, dude, the king.
So the life of Plake, we're going to explore a lot of it as we move on through the series for Elan. Richard Petty, if you're not familiar with him, he's probably one of the greatest race car drivers in the history of racing, if not the greatest. And it sounds like he knew Plake, and I'm sure there's hundreds of people that know Plake that I don't even know about.
Yeah, it's funny, dude. I was walking through the pits at Daytona, and someone goes, hey, the king wants to talk to you. And I was like, the king? And they were like, yeah. And I was friends with some other racers. I go into his trailer, and he's like, how's it going? I'm like, good. He goes, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a skier. He's like, all right. You have fun doing it? I'm like, yeah, I travel the world to do this, da-da-da-da, and kind of go this. So I kind of go through my life in a nutshell to Richard Petty, and we kind of chatted, and he said, well, you know, you enjoy the races and this and that. I said, yeah, for sure. I'm a big race fan, da-da-da. And he goes, seems like you're having fun doing what you're doing. Keep doing it and keep a smile on your face. That's the easiest thing to do in the world. And that was it. I was like, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, it's that easy? All right. Well, Glenn, you've made it look easy your whole career, and I know it hasn't been. You've had challenges from day one almost, from when you were 19 years old, and you overcame every challenge and spun it in a positive way for you and your career.
We try.
And really have made skiing a more fun place. If skiing didn't have Glenn Plake, it would be a lot more serious, and that would not be right.
I appreciate those words, and I appreciate everybody that I've had the ability to have an effect on one way or another.
Well, awesome. Well, we will have some more Glenn Plake next week.
Yeah, definitely. Go out and try some Ripsticks. I'm going to plug. This is a blatant commercial plug for no other reason than to make money. Go try some Ripsticks. Go to the demo day and get on a pair, and I think you'll be happy.
Well, you heard it there from Glenn, but I think from hearing his whole podcast here, when you get a Ripstick, you know it's coming out of one of the greatest factories in the world.
That's without a doubt.
A youthful, fun group that's really thinking about the skis when they're putting them together. Whether you skied it or not, get on one and try it and see if you can feel that fun that Glenn and Lon is putting into these skis, because they're amazing.
Yeah, we care a lot. That's for sure.
Like Faith No More, they care a lot.
That's good. You picked that up. I had that same exact flash as I said that. Yeah.
All right, so Glenn Plake is the most interesting skier in the world.